Each day, thousands of times across North America, specially trained law enforcement officers perform roadside truck inspections. The goal is simple: to make sure trucks as well as drivers are operating under the law. On top of these regular inspections, there are heightened annual inspection blitzes. Inspecting trucks and drivers, especially when multiple violations are found, can take half an hour or more. Not to mention trucks or drivers possibly being put out of service and fined. But there are steps you can take to make sure the next time your truck is inspected at roadside that it takes only a few minutes and that you pass with flying colors. This is Eyes on the Road, presented by PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. PrePass also includes informed dashboards for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge. Each year in the late spring, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance organizes the annual International Road Check Campaign. For 72 hours, the group, more commonly known as CVSA, which is made up of commercial motor vehicle enforcement officers and trucking industry representatives, oversees the largest targeted enforcement program on commercial motor vehicles in the world. Around 17 trucks and buses are inspected on average every minute in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico during road check. Another round of intense scrutiny, though to a lesser degree, happens at other times of the year, with CVSA's Operation Air Brake, Brake Safety Week, and Operation Safe Driver. And then there are enforcement crackdowns organized by individual states, as well as by some states that work together as part of a larger campaign. The bottom line is roadside truck inspections are a big part of life on the road. Joining me to talk about these events and roadside truck inspections in general, plus keys to passing them, is Kerry Workowski, CVSA's Director of Roadside Inspection Programs. Before joining the group in 2017, she spent 30 years with the Ontario Ministry of Transportation and was actively involved in commercial vehicle enforcement. We spoke with her on an earlier podcast about what trucking companies and drivers need to know before entering Canada, especially for the first time. She joins me on the line from her office in Ontario. Kerry, welcome back.
Thank you.
So how do events such as Road Check, Operation Air Brake, Operation Safe Driver, Brake Safety Week differ from day-to-day roadside truck inspection efforts?
The main difference when we're doing initiatives like Road Check and Operation Air Brake and the others that you mentioned is it's more of a targeted effort on whatever the event is focusing on. So for instance, Road Check is probably outside of the rest of them very different in that it's 3 days where the inspectors will tend to choose the first vehicle that comes up the runway. So they're less selective and it's more just random inspections. The reason we do that is we like to get a benchmark of how the industry is doing on an annual basis. Every other day of the year, inspectors do selective enforcement, looking for violations, looking for the bad operators. And they don't necessarily pull over the vehicle that is first one up the runway at a scale, for instance. This would be 3 days where this very well could be the case. So a lot of CVSA decals are given out during those 3 days. It's very educational for some jurisdictions. I know where I used to work, we invited the industry on those 3 days to come to the inspection facilities. We had staff that their main job for those 3 days was to educate the industry on what the inspectors were doing, what are they looking for. That doesn't happen on an everyday basis, but Road Check is intended to do that. This year, we're focusing on steering and suspension, for instance. So that doesn't mean that the inspectors are doing level one inspections and only looking at those two components. But what we do is we focus on something so that there's educational brochures and things that are available to give to the industry during that 3-day event. Operation Air Brake and Operation Safe Driver, they tend to be obviously focused on brake systems. And during Operation Air Brake, inspectors may just check the brake system of the truck. That's all they're looking at. They will go under and they'll do a level 4 inspection. I'll get into the levels here in a minute, but they will not do a level 1 complete inspection. They're just looking for brake violations. If they find them, they may up the ante and go to a level 2 or a level 1, but if they don't, they may just keep it at a targeted brake inspection. Operation Safe Driver, that's where we're out there looking for moving violations and how cars are operating around trucks and how trucks are operating around cars. One of the main focuses during that is usually distracted driving. Distracted driving is a big deal right now, so we tend to look more at driver behavior during Operation Safe Driver. So those efforts, they all have their own targeted initiative during that time frame.
So what are the latest trends from these special enforcement campaigns? In other words, is safety and compliance with the regulations in trucking getting better?
Oh, I would say it's definitely getting better, and it's for a lot of different reasons. I mean, these campaigns do help, but in all honesty, industry is better. The technology on trucks is much better. So, you know, when I go back 30 years ago, you didn't have automatic slack adjusters on brakes. Now you do. There's so many different technologies that have come out on trucks that help with the maintenance of the trucks. And then over the course of the last couple of years, we've obviously gone to electronic logging devices. The vast improvement on log violations is huge over the last year, just taking into consideration form and manner violations. And what I mean by that is back in the last 30 years, you stop a driver, he's got a paper log. Drivers make mistakes. A driver forgets to sign his logbook. He forgets to add up his totals. He forgets to put his unit number or plate number on the logbook. Those are human errors, but those were human errors that resulted in the driver having a citation for not filling out his log correctly. The electronic logging device takes care of that for the driver. The driver logs in at the beginning of the day. It updates it as he's driving. It takes all of his vehicle information and automatically inputs it. All he needs to do is verify it at the end of the day, and it's done for him. So those types of violations are almost non-existent when you have an electronic logging device that is working as it should, and it hasn't obviously malfunctioned or anything that the drivers had to go back to paper logs. But there's a huge decrease in those types of violations out there. So I would suggest that distracted driving, on the other hand, is going up. Unfortunately, whenever you have something good happen, it seems that there's always something else that we need to focus on. And now distracted driving tends to be where a lot of the agencies are focusing their efforts. I get calls a lot about why so many states are doing level 3 inspections. And I'll explain the levels again in a second, but they're doing level 3 inspections because the level 3 inspection focuses on the driver. It doesn't focus on the truck. It focuses on the driver and what the driver's doing. And as time moves forward, you start to see where the focus needs to go. And we need to deal with the distracted driving issues that we see out there, not just on trucks, but cars as well.
You mentioned there are different kinds of levels of truck inspections that can be performed at roadside by officers. Carrie, what are they and how do they differ?
Currently, there are 8 levels of inspections. The most common one that everybody's familiar with is the level 1 inspection. That is the complete inspection where an inspector will check all the driver's information, all of his paperwork. He or she will also crawl under the truck, go around the truck, check all the brake adjustment, check underneath the truck, the suspension, the steering, etc. And if that vehicle passes with no critical inspection items with defects, then each vehicle in that combination receives the CVSA decal that people know. That is the only inspection at roadside that is done that will result in possibly getting a CVSA decal. The level 2 is everything except for going underneath the vehicle and checking all the brakes and everything. Basically, the inspector will not get on a creeper and get underneath the vehicle in a level 2. It's a walk around. It's up in the cab, checking low air and other things like that, but not going underneath. It will not result in a CVSA decal if that inspection is passed. The level 3 I touched on earlier, it is just paperwork. So the inspector will stop the vehicle. A lot of traffic officers do level 3s, so they've stopped a driver for speeding. They go up, they take his paperwork, they check his CDL, his registration, all of his documentation, and that's all he checks. He'll check his ELD, but nothing to do with the truck. That is a level 3. Level 4s are targeted inspections. So for instance, like I mentioned with Operation Airbrake, some agencies will just do a level 4. They'll only check the brake system, or sometimes a level 4 is required to be done if an inspector goes to check a vehicle that has been in a crash that is still inspectable, but there's things that can't be inspected because of the result of the crash. A level 5 is something that is done by a compliance review specialist when they go in to do an audit. So it's a mechanical inspection of a truck or a trailer or both, but no driver. So we don't have a driver in that scenario. Somebody else, another inspector or a mechanic or somebody at the shop is actually working the vehicle for the inspector that's doing the inspection. Those inspections, if they're passed with no critical inspection items with defects, will result in a CVSA decal being applied, because the CVSA decal applies only to the vehicle component of the inspection. So the vehicle is done completely and a CVSA decal can be applied. The level 6 inspection is specific to radiological shipments that have a radiation level of a certain degree, and they're required by the Department of Energy or FMCSA to be done prior to the vehicle being dispatched from its original location. So those are specialized enhanced inspections. Level 7 is a inspection that a state can use. An example of that would be a lot of states have very robust school bus inspection programs, but the school bus inspections don't upload into SafetyNet and up to FMCSA, so they just use those inspections to facilitate the inspection program without them being uploaded anywhere. And then finally, we have a level 8, which is electronic only. The level 8 is an inspection done without the vehicle being stopped. It's defined, but it's yet to be actually done. It's very close, but it outlines what basically an inspector would be able to pull from a vehicle without the vehicle being stopped. So now that we have electronic logging devices, you can pull that information from a truck, and it will give the ability for carriers that have technology in their vehicles to actually have an inspection done, very similar to the information that we get when we do a level 3, CDL information, medical information on the driver, hours of service information on the driver. And if it's all good, then it's basically a clean inspection under a level 8. That's being worked on right now with industry, and when they get there, it will be something that inspectors will be able to do at roadside without stopping the vehicle.
Are there certain keys to passing these inspections? And Carrie, can you recommend any resources drivers and fleets can use to help them pass?
We have brochures and information on our website if people want to understand the different levels of inspection and what could happen when they're stopped for a CVSA inspection. But generally speaking, when somebody's stopped for an inspection, my best advice to a driver is know where you have all your things and make sure your stuff is in order. They have permit books. The permit books in some cases are like 50 pages. They need a permit for this state and a permit for that. And I understand that it's complicated. And then if they go north and south of the border, they need things for Canada and they need things for the US. But the more orderly that information can be, the easier it is for them. I've seen really good companies that take that book and they tab it out. And when you get stopped in Michigan, they've got a Michigan tab, and then they've got a Alberta tab, and they've got a Florida tab if there's specifics for those particular jurisdictions. And then at the front, they have all their IRP cab cards and their fuel tax and every insurance and all the things that any inspector in any jurisdiction would want to see. The driver knows where his ELD or his AOBRD user card is, knows how to use his device that he has. Those are the things, honestly, that make your inspection very easy. And do a proper inspection before you jump in the truck at the beginning of the day. Know what the condition of your truck is in.
Is there any sort of pre-trip checklist that drivers and fleets can use so they can make sure they've got everything in order with their vehicle and documents?
There isn't a checklist per se. However, what I recommend to a lot of people is, obviously, in 396.11, it outlines in the federal regulations what a driver needs to inspect when they do a pre-trip and a post-trip inspection. But it's a pretty generic list of a lot of the systems, brake systems, suspension systems, steering systems, and it doesn't delineate down into those systems very deep as to what they should really be inspecting. So in Canada, there is a schedule that drivers must carry and they have to have when they're doing the trip inspection during the day in that country. And it's outlined in Standard 13 in the National Safety Code in Canada. So I have suggested to people, if they really want a checklist, to give them some ideas. Like, for instance, in brake system, it tells you to look for leaks, check the tractor protection system, check for brake adjustment, things like that. Those are things that if you don't inspect them, you can be charged for at roadside in both countries. So if they want a checklist, they can go to CCMTA's website and go on the tab for the National Safety Code, drill down to Standard 13, pull it up. Schedule 1 is for trucks and trailers. It's not a requirement in the U.S. It is in Canada, but it's certainly a good checklist if a driver really kind of wants to have an idea of what they should be checking inside of those systems.
And that web address for the Canadian Council of Motor Transport Administrators that you just referenced is ccmta.ca. Now, Carrie, in April of 2019, CVSA announced its new North American standard out-of-service criteria for trucks is in effect, replacing all previous versions. There were a dozen changes. What were the most significant ones?
As of last year, there was an out-of-service condition for no skill performance evaluation in possession when required. However, there was nothing in the out-of-service criteria to place a driver out of service if they were not currently operating with whatever the skills performance evaluation certificate was suggesting. So I'll give you an example. If I'm missing a limb, I would have a skills performance evaluation certificate saying that I can drive a vehicle with a prosthetic limb. But if I didn't have the limb with me, there wasn't any way that I could keep the driver from continuing on without the prosthetic limb. So now the out-of-service criteria says not only do you have to have the certificate, you have to have whatever the condition within the certificate is requiring of you, or you will be placed out of service. Another big one was there's a new tie-down assembly that came out in the industry. It looks like a chain, but it's made out of a synthetic textile component. And inspectors, when they see new types of tie downs, they have to know when that tie down becomes defective. So we worked with the manufacturer and came up with where the defective conditions are for this textile link tie down assembly. And also, there's a bulletin on our website outlining the tie down so that people can understand how it works, what it looks like, in order for inspectors to be able to identify it. The next one, this seems like a big one, but it probably doesn't happen often, but it happened more than once, the missing driver's seat. So this is a new critical inspection item, and it's actually when the driver's seat is not there. Now, I wouldn't suggest that a driver's going down the road driving a vehicle with no seat, but in the situation that we had, he was in a lawn chair. And there's been other situations where they've been in temporary seats, chairs, whatever, that they've put into a truck. And in one particular instance that was discussed in committee, they reached for something, the chair wasn't secured, it tipped over, and then there was a crash that was resulting from that. And then the picture and the information that we had during the committee meeting was a driver sitting in a lawn chair. So at that point, there was nothing that you could really do. There was nothing in the out of service. So there is now solely for the driver's seat completely missing. So when drivers have the seats that were manufactured in the truck and there's a tear or a bolt loose or anything like that, don't concern yourself with that you're going to be placed out of service, because this is when that seat is missing completely.
Well, at least I know what happened to that lawn chair of mine that disappeared a couple of years ago. Carrie, last December, a federal mandate requiring the use of electronic logging devices took effect for many trucking operations. This December is the deadline for anyone using a grandfathered AOBRD, also known as an automatic onboard recording device, to switch from it to an ELD. How has changing over from paper logs to ELDs this past December affected truck inspections, and how do you see it affecting them when this upcoming December deadline comes and goes for the switchover from AOBRDs to ELDs?
It has affected it in two different ways, and it totally depends on what the driver knows about the device that he's operating. In some cases, and I've seen this myself when I was in a state on the side of the road with some inspectors, I've seen drivers who know exactly what they have. They know they have an electronic logging device. They know how to navigate to the transfer page. They know how to transfer the file to the inspector, and it goes very smoothly. And it has absolutely made the inspection process much quicker. The inspector gets the file, they transfer it into their computer, they get a screenshot of the driver's previous 8 days, they can punch a button and it tells them where all the potential violations are. If there aren't any, it's a very quick inspection for the inspector to do at roadside. I've also seen the latter, which is the driver doesn't know if he's got an electronic logging device or an onboard recording device, and the automatic onboard recording devices do not transfer files like an electronic logging device does. So then they get caught in, they're not sure what the device is supposed to do. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to navigate it. They can't find their instruction cards. They can't find how to transfer their file cards. They can't put it into inspector mode. There's things that they just don't know how to do. And I've seen it last 20 to 30 minutes between the driver and the inspector just trying to figure out how to use the device. What I suggest, I really highly suggest to the industry is do not wait until December 16th. If you don't have your ELDs up and running now and you're still running on AOBRDs, don't wait until December 16th. Because there is a training curve and there's a learning curve for the drivers when you flip the switch from AOBRD to ELD, and you don't want them to have to go through that post December 16th when inspectors are out there no longer really being as lenient and being as accepting of one or the other as they were prior to December 16th. Inspectors are very accommodating right now. They're very understanding, because they have to learn too. So that's one of my best suggestions. And my other one is, and I've said it to everybody that I've talked to about ELDs, there are over 400 electronic logging devices on FMCSA's website now that are approved. There is no way that an inspector is going to be an expert on all 400 or more, and then some as time moves forward. Your driver only has one. The company only has one device. Know how to use it, know how to navigate it. And then if an inspector stops that driver knows where his transfer card is, knows how to transfer, knows how to navigate back in his 8 days, knows how to move forward, back. The inspector probably doesn't even have to touch the device, because the driver can just show him as he's moving forward and back what the inspector wants to see. And it's effortless. If the driver doesn't know, that's where it starts to go south a little bit. And then it takes time, frustration gets going, and then the whole inspection becomes far more difficult than it needs to be.
That is Carrie Wachowski, Director of Roadside Truck Inspection Programs at CVSA. Carrie, it's been good speaking with you again.
You too, Evan.
And you can read more about CVSA as well as about their upcoming enforcement efforts on their website at cvsa.org. And while you're online, be sure to check out my previous interview with Carrie. It's episode number 10, entitled What Truckers Need to Know About Safety Regulations Before Entering Canada. Of course, you can always find more trucking industry news and insights on the PrePass blog at prepass.com. That's also where you can either subscribe to this podcast or listen to previous installments, as well as through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Blueberry, Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn, Listen Notes, and more. You can also keep up with PrePass online through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, if you've got a comment, question, or topic suggestion for the podcast, drop us a line at podcast@prepass.com. This has been Eyes on the Road, presented by PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. PrePass also includes informed dashboards for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge. Thank you for listening, and remember to keep your eyes on the road.